Sports Radio. FS1.
Looking for the one with...
Take three. Take three. Hey! The third take.
Hallelujah.
Ah, you got to love engineering types who don't know what they're doing and come into the studio over the weekend. Oh, it is a manic Monday, as you might imagine. And, well, we're back on the air.
Sort of.
Maybe more so than we want.
Yeah.
But... Boy, that was something last week, huh?
Oh, man. Folks, hi, it's Let's Talk. Look who's back. It's the two of us. What a surprise. Yes, it's been a heck of a week. Now, all right, let's see. Goodness, where do we start? We have an open line program, all right? So we have plenty. Are you kidding? Plenty to talk about here. We've been making it up for days. So we'll open up the phone lines a little bit. Our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, he'll join us later next hour. Now, of course, we have Joe on Mondays. And so the last time we had Joe was last Monday, and he did mention, well, watch out for those storms.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about that? Surprise. So we're going to talk with Joe later on next hour toward the end. And we're just going to say, okay, Joe, what happened? I mean, what the heck was that? You know, and so on. So we'll get Joe's post-mortem on all these crazy storms from last week. That, again, nuts, just nuts. Thankfully, now, I bet you the West Penn Power Outages map has been the most popular internet website of the week. I know I checked it a whole bunch of times. I'm sure a lot of other people checked it. I checked it this morning. Now, I checked it yesterday. And there were still, you know, if you're not familiar with this map, it's a map of Pennsylvania. And wherever there are outages, there are little dots, all right? If you've seen the map, you know what I'm talking about. There are all these little dots. And the Greater State College area looked like a measles outbreak. I mean, there were like dots all over the place. It was crazy. Yesterday, I remember, I think I might have been at church yesterday, and I thought, all right, I'm going to pull this thing up. I was talking with a friend, and there were still a lot of dots. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, it's been, what, 5 days? And there's, look at all these dots. I tried it again this morning. There are now essentially a handful of dots. Now, if you are living where there's a dot, of sorts, you're probably pulling your hair out right now because it's now been 6 days.
I would think so.
Of this, okay.
I was pulling my hair out after a couple of hours.
Yeah. I mean, holy moly. So there's still a handful of outages out there. So if that's you, God love you. You are an amazingly patient individual. We are heaping praise on you so that you don't jump out a window or something. Yeesh. Hopefully, by today, all of those remaining dots will be gone.
Oh, that would be nice.
Oh, hopefully. Okay. I mean, I feel incredibly fortunate. Scott here. I'm from Penns Valley. Power went out, actually, it was 7:10 p.m. Tuesday evening. And I know that because that day, Tuesday, did my work, got home, thought, I want to get some yard work done. Gee, Joe said something about storms. I better hurry up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm outside, and I'm doing, you know, mowing and trimming and mulching, and I'm, you know, doing all kinds of stuff. And yes, the clouds are looking very ominous in the sky. Okay, it's not good. And as I'm finishing up my work, which was about 6:30, I'm starting to feel a few raindrops. I'm thinking, okay, this might be it. So I go inside. Meanwhile, I just worked up a sweat, all right, doing yard work. So I thought, I better take a shower. So I get in the shower. I'm taking a shower, and the lights are flickering. I'm thinking, okay, this is not good. So I'm able to finish my shower, you know, dry off, get dressed, and so on. And then at 7:10, boom, everything goes out. And I'm thinking, oh, man, how long is this going to last?
It's going to be a rough hour or
how
so.
Long? Yeah, just 10 minutes. You know, it's not a big deal. And it went on and on and on. I'm thinking, okay, this is not good. Now, I don't know about your house. At my house, we had a big blow, but it wasn't that bad. You know, we've had a number of big blows this spring, right? And I've got trees in my backyard, and occasionally I'd have a branch come down or like a limb. No, it's more of a branch, not a whole tree or anything like that. And so in 5 minutes, this thing was done, and woof, off it went. And I thought, well, that doesn't seem so bad. Oops, famous last words. It turned out to be crazy. Now, I feel incredibly fortunate because at my house, the power came back on about noon Thursday. And it's interesting, a line I've used with some friends over the last few days, because it's an old line and it's absolutely true. You don't know the importance or the value of something until you lose it. Right? That's true. And so when the power came back on Thursday, I'm like, yes! You know? And I emailed my friend Jeff here, yes, I got mine back! And he's like, I don't got mine back yet. What, you got yours, what, Friday?
No such luck. No, we got ours Thursday. Well, so let me go through a little bit of the story on our end.
Crazy, a lot of stories.
So the deer, Mad Turtle, had a baseball game on Tuesday evening. And they were playing at Hess Field. And so we go over, and game started at 6, warm-ups at 5, go through the routine, everything's wonderful. Man, I hope we get this in before the storms hit. Yeah. Play the game, get through the first 4 innings, and through the first 4 innings. The a couple of backstories here. One, the Mad Turtle loves playing catcher.
Cool.
Like that has been cool. He got into it. Wanted to try it 2 years ago. Liked it. Was you know, it's a 7-year-old playing catcher. It was about what you expected. Said he wanted new equipment. Like nope, they have the used equipment you can borrow from the team. Like we're not buying catcher's equipment. I'm like, hey, if you stay with it for a couple of years, I'll go ahead and get you a set of catcher's equipment. But you got to stay with it for a couple of years.
That's
right
fair.
Now, yes,
that's fair, yeah.
You can use the. His coach at the time had, there was an extra set that he was able to use at the games and stuff. So he did that, kind of clunked through it, did it again last year, got better as the season went on. Did not get in at catcher in the first game, and then we went on vacation. So we came back, and, you know, we'd let the coach know, hey, if it's possible, he likes playing catcher. Oh, that'd be wonderful. We only have one kid that really wants to be catcher. I think they now have a second kid, so 3 total. But yeah, that works out great. So he's going to catch the 5th inning. It's going to be his first time, or whatever inning it was. I might be mixing up the innings. But anyways, they we're going to the bottom of whatever inning it is. It's like, all right, he gets all of his catcher's equipment on. We're fired up. Goes out, takes a warm-up pitch, throws back. Umpire and coaches say, hold on, let's get together. Hey, we're tracking this thing. It's just came through Park Forest. We have about 3 to 4 minutes. Let's get out of here.
Oh.
So, we're bummed, but we go grab the Mad Turtle has all of his, he has a big box with his catcher's equipment. He has the box, I have his bag, I have my brand spanking new Yellowstone hat that I loved. It was Jackson Hole, Wyoming hat. It's like, oh man, this is cool.
Nice hat.
Wearing it to the game to show it off. We are starting to run to the car, and I mean, a gust the likes of which I don't remember feeling before hits. And, like, I'm, like, fighting just to take my next step.
Wow.
And I'm like, I hope the Mad Turtle's not, like, flying up behind me. Is he? Well, as that gust hits, my hat goes, like, straight up. I can feel it go off my head. Well, there's a big, I mean, it's got to be a 15-foot or more, maybe 20-foot screen behind me from the other field, the backstop. So I look back. I'm like, it's got to be against that fence. I don't see it. Like, could it have gone more than, like, that was a strong gust. And again, you could feel it. I'm like looking around. I'm like, I do not see it. So, all right, well, we got to get to the car. I'm like, I'm going to drive around here in a second. But we get to the car. Mad Turtle's okay. I'm okay. Grandparents are okay. Everybody's made it. It's all right. Like, I'm going to just circle around here real quick and look for my hat. No, we got to get out of here. I heard trees cracking. I get it. I just want to take a quick look. We go down. Apparently, I wasn't the only one. There were a couple of other people that kind of followed us down to the other field. One person did find their hat. I saw them run out, and I'm looking around and kind of in that area. I'm looking behind me. I cannot find it. Like, all right, we're out of here. So we go home. And as we're driving down the street, I'm like, I think we're without power. Like, I'm looking around, it is dark and every which way. So, it's all right. So we put on the flashlights, mom does a little reading to the Mad Turtle. We're calm. It's all right. Hopefully we get it back up, you know, sometime overnight. I drive out, Wednesday, late morning, just to check one more time for the hat. Nowhere to be seen.
Oh, man.
Bummer. I'm like, well, if that's the worst that happens, we're probably in pretty good shape. Mad Turtle says, I don't think that's going to be the worst that happens. I'm like, well, that's ominous. I hope that is the worst that happens. So, now her folks, my in-laws live out near Whipple Dam, and they got power restored, I think early Wednesday. They have a cabin out there that we will occasionally stay at. And so it's like, well, let's go out there. They have power. So we did that Wednesday. And then Thursday, we got out there, and then we got word. We had been there for about an hour, and we got word that, hey, power's back on in our neighborhood. I'm like, well, at this point, my wife's like, if you're okay with it, let's just stay. Like, yep, that sounds good to me. We're nestled in. We had neighbors that were staying there too. It's like, yeah, we'll just all kind of hunker down, enjoy the evening, and it'll be nice to have power back when we get back home. So we did have power restored sometime Thursday evening. I think it was between 6 and 6:30, somewhere in that neighborhood anyway. And a couple of things. Just it is ridiculous, the habits that we form. And a buddy of mine, actually the neighbor that was staying with us, actually posted on his Facebook page. He said, is it just me? And I'm like, well, no, it's not just you. I'm doing the same thing. He's like, I know the power's out. I'm well aware. And every time I walk into a room, I'm reaching over and I am flipping the switch as though somehow this is going to be the magic moment. It's just, it is such a and I caught myself, I mean, I have the flashlight in one hand. I'm going into the laundry room because I'm getting just a couple of items out to take out. So I am clearly aware that there is no electricity. I have the flashlight in my hand. Yep. It is on.
Yep.
And as I walk into the laundry room, I reach back and flip the light switch. It's like, hey, moron, there's a reason you're holding the flashlight in your other hand. It is just funny, the habits that we form.
I'd be a co-moron. I did that a bunch of times.
Oh, time you walked into a room. Every time I walked into a room, it's like, what are you doing? Like, you know, it's off. It's just funny. The other thing is just how much we take for granted certain things like electricity being there, and just how vastly different life must have been just 150 years ago. It is amazing. When you stop and think about how dependent we at least feel. Now, again, if this is the other thing, and I'm glad we didn't have to do the experiment, but like if you go a week or so, and like you have to make the adjustments you do, then, you know, how vastly different. I was watching, I think it was CNN is doing, I don't know if it already aired or it's coming up. I was flipping around and I caught a little segment, but one of their reporters is doing a piece on, they have put in internet, Wi-Fi, in the rainforest in the Amazon. And there was a village there. I think it was a village that he was kind of concentrating on, or at least the clip that I saw. And after like a week, like the kiddos in the village are gathered around, I don't know if it was like an iPad or a cell phone, but they're gathered around a screen and they're all locked in. I mean, locked in on watching whatever it was. And I don't even know, just a funny cat video, whatever it was. But the whole neighborhood, these are folks that they were aware that the internet existed. I mean, this wasn't completely, but they have not been exposed to it. Within a week, they were, I would say, borderline addicted, according to this reporter. It was just a very interesting kind of social experiment type of thing. I just wonder if you reversed it the other way. Now, that being said, what a fortunate time of the year for us to have had that storm.
Yeah.
If that was one of the days where we are having 0 degree temperatures and the wind is blowing, or it is August and it is 98, sweltering and humid out, it's like, well, it's a bummer that I like having lights, but in the overall scheme of things, house was perfectly comfortable. We had blankets. If you got a little chilly, you could, I mean, man, like just, man. hopefully.
Good timing.
West College was obviously an absolute mess. We live in the landings out in that area. I think we were one of the last in the State College area to get it back. And you knew it was going to be a while once you saw West College. That whole stretch from where you enter our neighborhood at Bristol down to the Unimart there, that was at Whitehall. I think every single pole, at least it looked like every pole was down and the wires were just tangled. I mean, one over the other. And I think they're still finishing kind of rehanging. They got everything up and working, obviously, but I think they're still trying to place everything properly. At least over the weekend, they were still doing some work in that regard. So, horrible situation, obviously, on University Drive, where a young man lost his life. There were a couple of other, we're fortunate in many ways that it was just one, and obviously one is too many. Again, hearts go out to everybody who knew the young man and the family and the whole bit. But there were some people trapped in cars, and fortunately, they stayed in their cars, and I'm not exactly sure how. We got to talking about it. Emergency personnel were able to extract the people. I don't know what all's involved. Somehow you have to cut the power source, obviously, before they get out of the vehicle, but then, like, that electricity can still jump. I don't know. Obviously, these are people that know what they're doing, and if somebody wants to call in and explain that process, I'm really kind of fascinated by it. I don't know how many people ultimately had to be extricated from vehicles that had down power lines on them. I know there were at least a few in just our neighborhood, our area. But fortunately, again, everybody seemed to get out okay. Number of people, there was at least one in our neighborhood. I saw at least one other person, like, man, I went out and bought the generators. Wonderful to have. you need to know what you're doing. I think there were some people that got them, like, you got to follow the instructions on keeping that away from the house and all of the things that go into it, recognize how much the generator, how much capacity it can take, all of that stuff. There were some people bragging about their generators. And, oh, that's not really affecting me. I got the generator. All right, show offs. All right, big shots. Good for you. But it was, I don't know. It was also, it's one of those shared experiences where then, like, everybody's talking about, wow, this is what happened as we just did. This is what happened to me. This is what I heard happened over there. How'd you get through it? Again, for most of us, it was like 48 to 72 hours. And we're making it out to be without electricity in a pretty calm time of the year in terms of weather temperature extremes. It's like, well, this, again, was in the overall scheme of things, not that big of a deal. But it felt like a pretty doggone big deal. Again, yeah, no school. I think all of the county schools, right, were off Wednesday. I believe that's true. Not positive about Phillipsburg, Osceola, but I think that's...
I'm not sure about that.
Well, I know Belmont, Bald Eagle Area State College, where St. Joseph's was.
Only a few spots in Penns Valley were closed. I think they were open.
Now, where that was Penns Valley
Reibersburg
open?
School in Reibersburg is where I live, Brush Valley. We were dark.
Yes.
So they had to bus kids from that school to another school.
Okay.
So I don't think Penns Valley, they didn't miss a lick.
Okay. Six schools were without power, but State College shut down the district in part because half the schools didn't have power, but also there were some pretty significant traffic impediments as a result of the down lines and down trees and all of that. And then State College actually had a two-hour delay on Thursday as well. And again, got back to what we will call normal on Friday. So,
quite
we
a
got
week.
Through it.
Quite a week.
It was quite the week.
Yeah, it's interesting. Before we take a break, Well, I'm from Penns Valley, so our studio is on Science Park Road. So I come in through Bowlesburg and then end up on West College Avenue. So I'm driving this morning. I'm thinking, gee, I wonder where these new poles are. Well, they weren't hard to find. They're the dark brown ones.
Uh-huh.
And there's a row of them. And I'm thinking, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm counting 5, 6. I'm thinking, wow. Because I saw some pictures on social media last week. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's horrible. I mean, a car trapped in the middle of the street with power lines all over it. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that's crazy. So you can make out what the new poles are. They're the dark brown ones.
Yeah.
Now, over time, they'll kind of bleach out and look like the other ones, but those are the new ones. So,
in case you were wondering.
There we go.
Now you know.
All right. Let's take a break here. I know there's been discussion about, well, why don't they put power lines underground? Well, they could do that.
Yeah.
There's some not good things with that. You know, you got to dig up the ground, and that would cost money. And what happens if there's some power problem? Well, now you got to dig the line up again to try to figure out where the power problem is. Goes back and forth. We're going to take a break. Later on, we'll have open lines. We have our sports segment next, where if you want to call in, well, here's what happened at my house, or here's what I noticed, and whatever. And we've got plenty of other things to talk about as well. So you're listening to Let's Talk. Yes, we're back. Sorry about that. We're back here on a Monday program. We're going to take a break, and we will come back right after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Thelfond Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Bellefonte. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a stock-up, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BellefonteCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BellefonteCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
This year's Penn State Board of Trustees election is about transparency and competence. And Pat Romano is asking for your alumni vote. Pat is a successful local business owner from Phillipsburg and a leader on the World Campus Alumni Board who believes in lowering student tuition, saving Commonwealth campuses, improving the Penn State student experience, and in honoring Joe and Sue Paterno by returning the Joe Paterno statue. Number 3 on your alumni ballot, Pat Romano will focus on Penn State's future and enough of the nonsense. This spring, vote for Pat Romano for the Penn State Board of Trustees.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Oh, yeah, we got the power back, baby. Radio station.
Very nice.
Up and running. Boy, did we have... won't go into all of the... It was just an absolute mess. And very grateful that we are back up and running here on a Monday morning. All right, let's take a check of the sports scene. Very busy sports weekend once again. Penn State men's lacrosse earning its eighth trip to the NCAA tournament. It'll be Penn State's third straight trip to the NCAA tournament. Penn State will go in as the 5 seed in the men's lacrosse championships. The Nittany Lions will take on Colgate in the opening round on Saturday, this coming Saturday, May 10th at 5 p.m. That'll be a home game for Penn State as the 5 seed. The Nittany Lions actually opened up the season with a 14-9 win over Colgate all the way back on February 1st. Penn State goes into the tournament with a record of 10-4 on the season, 3-2 in the Big Ten. Nittany Lions lost to Maryland in the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament. The winner of the opening round game on Saturday will advance to the quarterfinals, which will be in Annapolis, Maryland, and the winner of the Penn State Colgate game will face the winner of the Ohio State Notre Dame game, and those winners will meet on Sunday, this coming Sunday, May 12th. That will be a noon start. after sweeping Damon University in the opening round of the NCAA Men's Volleyball Tournament. Penn State will go into the quarterfinals as the number 7 seed, and Penn State will face second-seeded Hawaii on Thursday afternoon at Ohio State's Covelli Center. In Friday's win at Damon, Matthew Luomo had 14 kills, 3 aces, and 3 digs. Michael Schwab also with 30 assists and 3 aces to lead the Nittany Lions. Penn State now 15-15 on the year. Thursday's match against Hawaii will get underway at 1:30 in the afternoon. Also over the weekend, former Penn State wrestling standout Bo Nickel lost for the first time in the UFC in the event in Des Moines, Iowa. Nickel lost to Rainer DeRitter by TKO. Several body blows with the knee from DeRitter ended Nickel, who crumpled along the edge. Nickel did post over the weekend that he is grateful for the good moments and the bad throughout his career, and that he will be back and will learn lessons from Saturday night's event. Penn State baseball salvaged the final game of its series with Maryland yesterday with an 8-4 win at Medler Field at Lebrano Park. The game was delayed nearly 2 hours in the seventh inning. Nate Voss had a single, a double, and a triple, and knocked in a couple of runs to lead the offense. Derek Cease and Ryan Weingartner each had a couple of RBI as well. Penn State dropping the first two games of that series by scores of 7-4, and then a wild 12-11 loss in 11 innings on Saturday. Penn State softball team losing its regular season finale to Washington yesterday, 10-2. The Huskies taking 2 of 3 in that series. Kaylee Walters batted .581 to lead the Penn State offense on the weekend. Nittany Lions finished the regular season with a record of 24 wins and 26 losses, 10-12 in Big Ten games. Penn State will open up Big Ten tournament action on Wednesday against Iowa in West Lafayette, Indiana. The winner of that game will advance to the quarterfinals on Thursday against Nebraska. Most of the Penn State track and field team competed at the Larry Ellis Invitational at Princeton over the weekend. Penn State's Maddie Pitts finished second in the heptathlon at the Jim Green Invitational in Lexington, Kentucky. Pitts won 3 of the 7 individual events at the event. Also, at the Larry Ellis Invitational in Kentucky, Penn State's Jake Palermo won both the 200 and the 400 meter titles. Palermo was first in the 400, and teammates Max D'Angelo and James Onwuka were second and third, respectively, in the 400. Zoe Goldstein took second in the women's 200 and was third in the women's 400. Robert Allen of Penn State was second in the men's high jump. Amy Ericosima took second in the men's triple jump, and the Nittany Lions' Matt DiMatteo took third in the men's 400-meter hurdles, while Addie White was second in the women's 400 hurdles as well. And on Friday, the Bellefonte softball team defeated Somerset 11-1. Jaylee Lowe had 7 RBI for Bellefonte on a grand slam and a 3-run homer. That's a good day at the plate.
Whoa, that's
that
great.
That's some good work. State College baseball team lost to Mifflin County on Saturday in a pitcher's duel, 1-0. And we have some junior high track results from last week. This was on April 29th, Bellefonte taking on Central and Penns Valley. On the boys' side, Bellefonte beat Central 88-50 and topped Penns Valley 90-47. On the girls' side, Bellefonte beat Penns Valley 86-35 and lost to Central 72-68. The boys' team is having one heck of a season. 10-1 now are the Bellefonte boys on the year. Bellefonte girls are 6-5 now on the season. And weather hampering things at the Clinton County Speedway over the weekend. The Nittany 40 for the Race Saver Sprint Cars. They held the heats, and that's basically what they used to count here, because the the race itself got wiped out. So Casey Weaver had the best time trial and won the event. In the micro sprint qualifiers, Corey Stabley of Blanchard held off Lock Haven's Jeffrey Weaver to win Heat 1. Sealands Grove's Tyler Close took the checkered flag over Alex Lukacs of Strasburg. Mark Bittler of Williamsport set a new 5-lap track record in the Pro Stock Heat race, crossing the line in front of Larry Knight of Williamsport and Tommy Dawson of Hobie. The second Heat race was won by A.J. Hoffman of Richfield over Lock Haven's Denny Forney and Sealands Grove's Corey Long. And the Clinton County Speedway will be back in action this Friday night, May 9th, and will feature the limited late models, Pro Stocks, 270 micro sprints, and four cylinders. And Mother Nature, come on. Do us a favor. Just, you know, help out a little bit here. Come on. It's all we're asking. Just a little bit of help. Also, if you missed it, the Kentucky Derby was held over the weekend. My understanding is they held this year's race in Kentucky. This marks like the 151st year that they've held the Kentucky Derby in Kentucky.
It's amazing.
Just one of those oddities in the sport. Sovereignty. Outdueling journalism. Journalism loses again. Sovereignty wins the Kentucky Derby. Huh? It seems to be a theme in this country, no? Journalism was the favorite, but Sovereignty on a... I think we could call that the epitome of a sloppy track.
Oh, it was bad.
Good Lord, was the mud flying.
Ooh, what a mess.
It was fun to watch. Not sure if it was all that fun to be Sovereignty and everybody involved with Sovereignty, they said, yeah, no, that was worth it. Libby Dunn, if you missed it, the LSU gymnast made headlines. She struggled with the riders up call ahead of the Kentucky Derby. fans, I know you won't believe this, but on social media, they let their opinions fly for some reason. I think this is the first time we've just seen opinions fly on somebody famous flubbing up something. It was a 12-second performance. One of the social media folks says, that was terrible. She doesn't know horses or the event. Just stupid publicity. Yes, the last thing you want for a big event is more publicity. I mean, folks, and we're human beings. As we've been watching a lot of Major League Baseball, my kiddo and I, and we're watching major leaguers make, from time to time, little league mistakes. And it's like, man, yeah, why don't they know that? Well, they know that, but they made a mistake. It is what happens when you get human beings involved with events, is what happens. A lot of times it goes well. Sometimes we flub up. Why? Because we're human and we do dumb things. See the light switch comments from earlier in this morning's program as an example. Speaking of making mistakes, the Pittsburgh Pirates were swept by the San Diego Padres over the weekend. The Pirates offense is what we would call not good in baseball parlance. We went to Friday's game. That was delayed by about 90 minutes. We ended up leaving in the sixth inning. Our favorite player, my kiddo's favorite player, Fernando Tatis Jr. had to leave the game. We were afraid he might have suffered a broken bone. He got hit by a pitch in the wrist area. As we're driving home and listening to the game, we learned it was a contusion, a bruise, and he was back in the lineup on Saturday and ended up helping the Padres pick up the victory yesterday as the Padres again sweep the beloved Pirates, and the woes for the Pittsburgh Pirates continue. Fortunately, The good news for the Pirates is they lost 4-0 to the Padres yesterday. The good news for the Pirates is that the Colorado Rockies exist this year, and therefore the Pirates are not the laughing stock of Major League Baseball. That right solely belongs to the Colorado Rockies here this season. Not even the White Sox, with their lack of hap, can match the Colorado Rockies' ineptitude. The Philadelphia Phillies lost to the Arizona Diamondbacks yesterday 11-9. Philadelphia has now dropped to 19-15 on the season. Just real quickly, in the National League, the Mets have a 2.5 game lead over the Phillies. In the East, it is the Cubs with a 3-game lead over the Reds. In the Central, the Pirates are 9 games back and solidly in the basement, 4 games behind the 4th-place Cardinals. Are the Pittsburgh Pirates. The National League West is just crazy good. Dodgers lead it by a half game over the Padres. Those two teams have the best records. Dodgers have the best record in Major League Baseball. Padres have the second best record in Major League Baseball. Again, San Diego a half game behind LA. And then the San Francisco Giants, in any other division, would be atop the standings. In the National League West, they're third, game and a half behind the Dodgers. And even the Diamondbacks are sitting there at 18-16, and just 5 games out. And then, you know, there's the Colorado Rockies. They're awful. I don't know if I mentioned that earlier, but they are like historically bad. In the American League, the Yankees have a 2-game lead over the Red Sox. In the East, it is the Tigers, a game and a half up on the Guardians, once upon a time known as the Indians. In the American League Central, and it is the Mariners, the red hot Seattle Mariners, now 2 games in front of the Athletics in the American League West.
Thanks for not mentioning my Orioles.
Well, you know.
They're bad. Their pitching is just bad, which was my fear going into this gig. I'm thinking, I'm not liking this, and they're terrible. Although, again, Colorado is 6 wins and 28 losses. Oh, my God. That's really bad.
Like, horrific.
And the Chicago White Sox are once again bad. They're 10 wins and 24 losses. Ugh. Problem is, my Orioles are 13-20. Your Pirates are 12-23. We should just get out the crying towels.
It's been rough.
It's really bad.
And in the NHL yesterday, if you want edge of your seat hockey, that Jets Blues series was something. I think we would call that a competitive series. It went to a 7th game, so that tells you it's a competitive series. That 7th game was tied at the end of regulation. It was tied at the end of the first overtime. And the Jets ultimately prevail 4-3 in double overtime in Game 7. The Jets beat the Blues and take the series 4-3. Stars also beat the Avalanche. That was a wild one. Stars were down 2-0 with just over 12 minutes left in the game. And you're like, oh, man, that Dallas fans, man, it was a great season. It was a bummer. Then they scored. Like, wait a second. We're not out of this. Then they scored again. Then they scored again, and they scored again. They win it 4-2, 4 goals in 12 minutes. I forget, 12 minutes and 12 seconds, something like that. Just a wild finish. And that's hockey for you. It can, man, it can turn in a heartbeat. I mean, it felt like the Avalanche were just in control. Dallas could not get through. Well, once they got through, once they got a goal, then it was on, and they just they lit it up from there on out. So that's what I have from a busy little weekend in the world of sports.
Well, two quick things before we take a break. Now, you missed the best part.
NBA playoffs are going on.
You missed the best part of the Winnipeg-St. Louis game.
Yeah.
Winnipeg scores a goal with 3 seconds left in regulation.
Yes.
And the place goes bonkers.
They seemed a little energized.
St. Louis was 3 seconds away from advancing.
Yes.
And Winnipeg gets this little, like, scoot goal or putback goal or whatever. And yeah, the place goes bananas.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, oh my gosh, that's insane. And closer to home. All right, now, we all, you know, hockey. I think we all became fans of Penn State hockey,
well,
right?
Yeah.
Went to the Frozen Four. There's a team that got off to a really slow start this past season. We're all wondering, what is up with this team? What the heck? And then somebody flicked a switch, and they caught fire, and they went all the way to the Frozen Four. Men's volleyball got off to a really slow start this year. We're all like, what is this? What's going on? These guys are better than that. What's going to deal? Now they're in the NCAA tournament. What is it? The quarterfinals, I think. And they've had a bunch of sweeps all of a sudden.
Yeah. Swept their way through the EIVA tournament, including the top seed, and won at Princeton. They won on the road again. Here over the weekend in the first round, and they're in the NCAA tournament with the match this past weekend, but it's kind of the extra match. It's almost like that pigtail match, if you will, to set the quarterfinals. So, they had to go up to, Damon University, and yeah, swept, again, back-to-back sweeps over higher seeded teams in their gyms. So, I think we could safely say Penn State is playing its best volleyball of the season by a good measure. Now, they're going to need that and then some on Thursday. Hawaii goes in as the number 2 overall seed, and Hawaii's been playing very, very well all season long. Beat Penn State earlier in the year. But, yeah, the way this Penn State team is playing, I would not rule it out here on Thursday afternoon.
I mean, you got to wonder, is this another story? Because the collective we kind of gave up on volleyball. It's like, what's up with these guys? They're not great. And all of a sudden, whoop, flipperoo, and there they are. So watch out for men's volleyball later this week. Could this be another men's hockey story? Which would be incredible.
It'd be fun.
It'd be amazing. So there we go. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have open lines for about an hour. Again, our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, is going to join us later next hour. And you know what we're going to ask Joe. A, what the heck was that? B, could this happen again?
And I don't think they lost power, at least in Bowlesburg. At least I got a couple of my friends down there. So,
okay.
yeah.
This is sounding a little shady right off the bat, all right? So we're going to take a break. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go away. We will return after this.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Belfont Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
Join the Nittany Knights as they perform Just Sing, 7 p.m. May 17th at the State Theater in downtown State College. This year's spring show will feature 2024 International Barbershop Harmony Society gold medal winners, Three and a Half Men, along with choirs from State College High School and Mountain Indian Park Forest Middle Schools. Tickets $30 for adults, $20 for children 15 and under. Get your tickets today at nittanyknights.org. Just Sing, May 17th, 7 p.m. at the State Theater. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Ready to relax in style? Clearwater Swimming Pool Company is giving you the chance to win a walk-in 735L hot tub by Hot Springs at this year's Belfont Cruise on June 13th and 14th. This six-person luxury spa is built for the ultimate backyard escape. Loaded with powerful jets for a full-body massage experience, LED mood lighting for the perfect ambience, energy-efficient technology that saves money while keeping the water warm, and the trusted quality of Hot Spring Spas, the leader in comfort and innovation. Entering is easy. Stop by Clearwater Pool and Spa in Center Hall now, or visit our booth at the Bellefonte Cruise on June 13th and 14th to sign up. Don't miss your chance to bring home this incredible Watkins 735L hot tub from Hot Springs. Check us out online at groupclearwater.com or visit our Center Hall location to view our full lineup of Hot Springs spas. And while you're there, be sure to ask about our lineup of Imagine Pools and Ocean Reef fiberglass pools. Make a splash this summer with Clearwater Swimming Pool Company and the Bellefonte Cruise.
As you look out onto your yard or acreage, you know it's coming. Lots of work and time. You may be excited about it because you have a Kubota from Daughter Equipment, which actually makes chores fun and frees up your time for other things. Or maybe you're looking at the lawn and acreage with a scowl because you don't even know if your lawn and garden equipment will even start. You need to get to Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota and the answers. If it's your first tractor, it's hard to decide how much horsepower you're looking for, what implements you'll need. Whether you're gardening or landscaping and keeping up with property maintenance, just being behind the wheel of a Kubota makes you appreciate the Kubota Compact Tractor for its simplicity and ease. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Fox Sports.
It's a Monday morning, and we're back, baby. It's Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Let's talk with Jeff and Scott. Phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266. 814-954-7266. I don't know if any of you heard, but we had some weather last week. We're here to let you know. It was a storm.
We had 5 minutes of weather.
Yeah,
That's what it was.
Yeah, true enough.
Think about it last week, folks. We had 5 minutes of weather, and then poof. I mean, that's all. And it wasn't just us. Again, southwestern PA, the greater Pittsburgh area got hammered. Altoona got hammered. We got hammered. Up toward Lock Haven got hammered. Now, what's interesting, all right, I'm from Penns Valley, all right, so if I keep going east over toward Lewisburg and the Susquehanna, not a problem. Not a problem over there. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe I should pick up my house and move it over there or something. I mean, it was a crazy, crazy storm. All right, now don't feel badly about me. I have a portable generator, all right. We've got some pumps in our basement. And when the power went out Tuesday night last week, my first thought was, okay, let's see if it comes back. After about 2 hours, like, okay, this isn't looking good. So I go out in the garage, get everything ready to go, set it up, hook up a couple of long extension cords for sump pumps and downstairs a fridge and freezer, because after 2 hours I thought, okay, I'm not getting a good feeling here. And so got it all fired up. So our generator ran for about 38 straight hours, except when I had to fuel it up. So way to go, generator. Yes.
Saved our bacon. Saved our bacon.
Although actually, literally.
Think, yeah, the bacon. Yeah, maybe. Saved the bacon. Unfortunately, yeah. Didn't save the eggs. I'm going to have to trash some eggs today.
We had to trash. I don't even. We basically cleaned out our refrigerator and freezer.
At our house, garbage day is Tuesday.
Yeah.
So tomorrow.
Ours was Thursday.
So.
And it was. I scrambled through Thursday morning to. It's like, all right, here we go.
Our one main fridge, I couldn't get a line to. So today or this evening, I'm going to have to clean out some things in there. You know, dairy type items and eggs and so on. They're going to have to go. Folks, don't. If your power was out for a long time in your fridge, even if you didn't open it, which you're not supposed to do, which is crazy because we all do it. All right, I want to get a drink in there, or I want to get an apple or something. If you have any misgivings about something in your fridge that was off for 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, just ditch it. You don't want to, just ditch it. It's not worth taking a chance of getting sick or something like that. So, yeah, that's what we're going to have to do at my house today. So, there we go. Actually, you kind of touched on it. I bet last week at certain places, big increase in the sales of portable generators.
Yep.
Anybody looking into solar out there? Maybe you are. Because I think I want to reach out to either West Penn Power or First Energy. First Energy owns West Penn Power and a bunch of other ones. Because this is now the third, I call them big blow. This is the third big blow in like 2 months. And I can't recall that ever happening before. We've had three of these. Now, God forbid if you were somehow affected by all three of them. At my house, we were only affected by one last week. Some other folks, I'm sure, were affected by two. I got to believe somebody out there was affected by all three of these big blows over the last 2 months. And, you know, the power company, I mean, God love them. They did the best they could. They called in guys from New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Ohio, wherever they could call
and
in extra
bless
people.
You and thank you, every one of you, for your efforts. Right. My
they,
God.
They called in the out-of-state people. They all came in with their equipment and so on and so forth. But this is the third time now in the last 2 months, and I'm thinking there's a story there somehow. What's going on? Or maybe, okay, how are we looking to the future here? Are we going to have another one of these in about 2 weeks? You know, that sort of thing. So I think I might reach out to them to see if they'd be willing to have a guest on, because three times in 2 months or less, maybe it's 6 weeks, I'm not sure, but that's just insane. What the heck is going on? I saw at least one blurb, hey, we should be putting these underground. We should put electric lines underground. Then we wouldn't have to deal with this. Well, yeah, but number one, how much is that going to cost to put all electric lines underground? Number two, invariably at some point there would be a problem with a line. Okay, well now what? Now we got to figure out where it is. Here, here, here. Where are we going to dig? And then you got to dig the line back up again. Well, that's a bit of a pain. No, we don't like power poles, but at least there's the power pole. I can see it. Okay, now we can go fix it. So underground sounds great, but yeah, it's got its shortcomings also. So anyway.
Perhaps not building quite as many trees right next to or under the power lines might be something to consider moving forward.
Just a
random thought.
I did notice those brand new dark brown power poles on West College Avenue are awfully tall.
Mm-hmm.
They're very tall poles.
Yes.
Now.
Notice that as well.
Very tall poles now. Like, okay. But if you've got a story to share from last week, it was a crazy week. 814-954-7266. Now, it turns out my wife was away for a few days, so it was me and the dog.
Ah, well.
Me and the dog. And, yes, I did the flashlight gig. And, yes, okay, light switch. Oh, crap.
Yeah. Well, we did get fortunate that Thursday's round of storms, which did roll through, didn't provide anywhere near the excitement, if you will, because there was some legitimate concern that, all right, just as we get all this stuff back up and in place, the possibility existed that we were going to be right back to where we were Tuesday evening. Now, fortunately, again, very fortunately, that worked out, and I don't think we had any major damage or outages as a result of Thursday's round. And then yesterday, just the doggone rain. It has been a rough Little League baseball season on the weather front. We did get three innings in yesterday, and I think that officially I'm confused on the actual rules with the Little League games, but kiddos had some fun, but the field by the end of it, I mean, it looked like the Kentucky Derby track, and it's like, okay, we got to get out of here. I think they actually did get some other games in then later in the afternoon. It cleared up after that, but it was probably an hour long process to get that infield back over at Montressor Field here. Probably, I'm guessing, about an hour-long process. But they had time before that next game because we finished up ours early. So I think I think the weather held off there pretty well. So I think they did get some other games in. But it has been a little rough on the spring sports schedule here. I guess not just Little League, but the high school sports, yeah. All of it. It has been just a little bit rough.
Yeah, a little rough. So there we go. All right, we'll take a break in a moment. Now, real quick, for our folks that are on our list for the Let's Talk newsletter, good news and bad news. Yeah. Good news is we sent out our most recent issue this morning. Bad news is the survey question that we have in every issue, I accidentally linked the wrong question.
Oh, no.
Good news is I just resent it to everybody with the correct survey question.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's...
You get out of practice, I'm like, what?
We're human beings.
All right.
We make
so for all of our newsletter readers, hopefully you'll take it, check it out. The survey question this time is about politics. Come on, you people love politics. So we're really curious to see what your results are from that. We have the Ironhead's recap of his epic vacation.
Oh, man, what a vacation.
Complete with a great photo that you sent. All right. I've got some stuff about AI. Might have to talk about AI maybe in the next segment or something because this is becoming more and more of a big deal. Of course, this is finals week at Penn State, graduation ceremonies this weekend, and then all these brand new graduates, we put them out in the world, and the question is, can they actually get a job? And increasingly, apparently, according to statistics, that's becoming a little more difficult. Uh-oh. So I've got some stats to share with you when we come back a little later on. I tell you what, we got two big weeks this week. This week, and I think also next week, and I'll describe what I'm talking about. We got some major, major things coming up.
Nice.
All right. Well,
I like major.
Well, maybe not so nice.
Oh, no.
Depending on which way
bad
you
major
lean.
Things.
All right. Let's take that break. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Lines are open if you want to chime in. Otherwise, sit back, enjoy the listen, and we will come back after this.
Would be like after this.
From State College, Lock Haven, and Bellefonte, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Bellefonte Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Bellefonte. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BellefonteCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BellefonteCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
This year's Penn State Board of Trustees election is about transparency and competence. And Pat Romano is asking for your alumni vote. Pat is a successful local business owner from Phillipsburg and a leader on the World Campus Alumni Board who believes in lowering student tuition, saving Commonwealth campuses, improving the Penn State student experience, and in honoring Joe and Sue Paterno by returning the Joe Paterno statue. Number 3 on your alumni ballot, Pat Romano will focus on Penn State's future and enough of the nonsense. This spring, vote for Pat Romano. Motto for the Penn State Board of Trustees.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to XYZ Printing.
My son's soccer team is looking for new jerseys.
Well, I can do that.
Something in green with white lettering.
No problem at all. Right here in this box.
But those are white shirts.
Not for long.
Just because someone says they make custom t-shirts doesn't mean they're from Pamp.
What's the name of Yun's team up there?
The Tigers.
Is that with one G or two?
For quality you can see and wear, remember Pamp for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. Pamp has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200, 25 horsepower, with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority. Woo-hoo! WFXS America. 98.7 The Fox City College.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday. We're back. It's Jeff and Scott. Phone line is open, 814-954-7266. We made it through. We live to tell about it.
I can't tell you how many times I had to reschedule guests last week.
We kept thinking, all right, well, I think we'll be good tomorrow. Nope. All right, I think we'll be good tomorrow. Nope. But, hey, we're, relatively good today.
Now, we have an open line program today. Let's mention the number again, 814-954-7266. We are crammed with guests the next 3 days because I had to reschedule everybody.
Well, and the real tragedy was we missed my birthday on Friday and all of the calls and gifts that were going to come with that from our beloved listeners. Let's head to the phones. Good morning. You are live on Let's Talk.
Good morning. Jeff, your gift is on the way, buddy.
I'm counting on it. Thank you, sir.
Yep. I never miss your birthday except like the last, I don't know, 65 years or
however. Yeah. Who's keeping track?
Yes. I got two pieces of advice for the Mad Turtle, okay? Number one, if you watch the Little League World Series, which I watched religiously, and I was there for the first time about 4 years ago, and I'm thinking, I got the best athletic event in the world, 60 miles from my front door, and I've never been there.
Right there with you. Shame on me. I think we may actually go this year. The Mad Turtle has set it as an objective of his get there, so we'll see.
Tell Reggie to take heart that if you pay much attention to that, and I typically do, almost without fail, the team that's at least one of the two teams in the finals have the best catcher in the tournament. And the reason being primarily is if a walk turns into a triple because of pass balls, you're in trouble.
Yep.
So I think actually a catcher is probably the most valuable player on any Little League team, because if you can't stop the ball, you got problems.
I would not disagree.
And the other part is, Jeff, if you're real smart, starting today, when you get home, you gather up the Mad Turtle, go out in the backyard, and teach him how to throw a left-handed knuckleball, and then you can retire.
A left-handed knuckleball. Wow.
Problem solved.
At the age of 9.
Next.
Okay, yeah. Yep. Oh, hey, listen, you got to start early, Scott. You know, I mean, knuckleball's hard to throw, and the earlier you learn it, the better, But I'm convinced. I mean, you look at some guy like Tim Wakefield, you know, from the Bo Sox, looked like, you know, he fell off a charm bracelet. But, boy, he was effective.
No doubt about that.
All right. There you go. There
so that's my baseball advice. Had my son taken that advice, I'd be retired. But he didn't, and here I am.
Sorry.
I'm glad you had a great trip, and say hi to your lovely wife, and you guys have a good week.
Thank you very much. Right. Appreciate the phone call. Phone line is once again open at 814-954-7266.
Yeah, I had to reschedule constantly last week. It was driving me nuts.
Yeah.
And a couple of our guests are apologizing. Oh, we're really sorry. I'm like, there's no need for you to be sorry. I'm just really frustrated that we can't get rolling again. Tomorrow, we're going to have a guest talking about the upcoming Ironman competition, which, again, I think you're insane if you do Ironman, but some people, there's a whole lot of insane people. So we're going to have a special guest about that. State Senator Chris Dush is going to join us tomorrow. Oh, I had to reschedule him like 3 times.
Yeah.
And thankfully for his patience and his assistant, Ty, who helped us out. What about the Rockview, you know, prison closing? Senator Dush said he was waiting for some answers. Tomorrow we'll find out, did he get his answers? Is he going to do the subpoena? Is he going to fight this doggone thing? So we are scheduled to talk with the senator live, finally, tomorrow. Let me knock on Formica or whatever that thing is there. Now, Wednesday, I think you're away, actually, on Wednesday.
I am. We're going to wrestling breakfast on Wednesday.
It's always food. Folks, you notice this? It's always food.
Darn good food at this point.
I'm sure it's darn good food.
Yeah, true enough.
There you go. We're going to have a guest from the Hechinger Report on Wednesday. John Marcus, I had to reschedule because of the craziness. We've had John on before. He primarily covers higher education stories. So think college, university, and man, do I got a bunch of questions for him during Penn State's finals week this week. So, and then we have other guests on Thursday. I mean, we've got a full week after today because of the log jam from last week of just insane stuff. Here's a story I had from days ago. All right, Mr. Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, you lost your hat.
Oh, is this?
You had a really nice hat.
It was a nice hat. Okay. I did like the hat.
Now, somebody out there has to find the hat. Come on.
I don't know. It might be buried up in a field, or it might be caught up in a tree. I mean, it may not be what? Something anybody.
I can't remember what's on the hat.
It's just it's a green and gray. Might be some black in it too, but it's just and it just says Jackson Hole. I don't even know if it spells out Wyoming. It might just be Jackson Hole WY and like a little sunset type of picture on him.
And where did you lose the hat?
It was at Hess Field, and it went. I mean, it went straight up. I couldn't believe, I turned around, I'm like, well, it has to be against the fence here somewhere, because the fence, it has to be at least 15 feet high there. And I was only 20 feet from it, 25 feet at the most, and we're just, again, hustling toward the car, and I mean, it was a big gust, and it, like, for a couple of seconds, I'm like, I'm not sure we're going to be able to get back to the car fighting the wind. Now, it quickly, you know, subsided, and we ran and all of that, but I'm kind of half checking behind me to make sure the Mad Turtle isn't flying away up in the air there. But, yeah, somewhere in that area, but who knows where it
well,
got to.
When we're done here, and when later on when you have to leave, it's a decent day today. Well, you should drive out there and see.
I did that on Wednesday. I looked around a good bit. And
oh,
no,
really?
I do not see it anywhere.
Okay,
so.
Well, could have been worse. Now, this,
yes.
All right, so two weeks ago, you're at Yellowstone.
Yeah.
And we know, if you follow this stuff, Yellowstone is on top of a volcano.
Yeah.
There's a volcano underneath there.
Yeah, it's an active volcano.
It's correct. And, you know, the idea is, this thing due to blow? And if it ever did, it would be devastating. I mean, it would be serious. But...
yeah, like apocalyptic bad.
I've got some good news.
For this country.
Did you know this when you were out there? This is a study from several universities that apparently, at some point, wherever you were at Yellowstone, you were standing on top of a large magma cap that's about 2.5 miles down.
Yep.
Over top of the volcano. And this cap, they used, I don't know, one of these things where you can bore underground, not bore, but you beam sound beams underground and you can see it's, you know, where things are and stuff like that. So this thing is 2.5 miles down at Yellowstone. And apparently what it does is it allows like venting to take place, which I assume would be the geysers that you saw. And so that's like a pressure valve. So you got this magma cap and the pressure valves, and that's why Yellowstone hasn't gone boom in recent times. So you were standing on a magma cap. Did you know that? Did they tell you that?
Yes. They also had a horrific accident out there involving a tour group. Seven people lost their life. In a traffic accident in Yellowstone, and I don't know all of the details on that. They may have been released now. I don't know, but I will say I can see how bad accidents can happen there. That they tell everybody, their signs up, don't on the main roads, well, even the side roads, like, don't just stop on the road or even right. Make sure you're entirely off the road if you're going to bring your vehicle to a stop. Again, I don't know the details on this one, but you have people, obviously, it's why we did the guided tours, is like, we didn't want to be looking and not paying attention. So I can understand, unfortunately, how accidents can happen. One, cars can slow down quickly or even come to a stop, and if you're like just glancing to your left and you're looking at something else and then you turn, I mean, it can happen quick. Also, there are a lot of turnoffs and people sometimes aren't using the best judgment and pulling out in front of others and all of that. It just, but yeah, a horrific accident last week, and it involved a tour guided group, and again, I didn't get a lot of the details, but I know seven people lost their life. Ooh. In that accident. Just awful.
Yeah, you were in Wyoming, right? This accident was in Idaho.
So we were in, when we went to Yellowstone, we went through Idaho, Wyoming and Montana. That you kind of go in and out. Yellowstone is... So, yes, it was technically in Idaho. They may have been, again, I don't have a lot of the details in front of me, but they may have been 10 seconds from being technically back in.
Okay.
You go back and forth throughout a lot, at least on the western end of it, Yellowstone. But anyways, just what an awful... awful situation.
All right. All right, let's lighten up here a little bit.
All right.
All right, because I mentioned these next couple of weeks are, there's a lot of things crammed in these next couple of weeks, I think. What am I talking about? Well, first off, today is the 5th of May, so if you're a Star Wars fan, be careful, Revenge of the 5th, after yesterday was May the 4th be with you. Ha! Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh.
You Star Wars fans, all right, there you go. Today is Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah. Let's celebrate.
Which may be a bigger deal in the U.S. than it is in Mexico.
Yeah.
Okay? Number one.
Gives us an excuse to party, dude.
Well, okay, there we go. I'm wondering if some Mexican restaurants are running specials today.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Cinco de Mayo.
Yes.
Okay. We'll continue that. Let's
maybe
take our
somebody's
call
here. Tipping us off to a Cinco de Mayo special. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Not a Cinco de Mayo. I'm still celebrating St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, there you go. The celebration never stops.
Okay.
Hey, I heard you talking about Yellowstone. Did you see the hot dog and French fry?
The hot dog and French fry?
That was about the German tourist that was up there, and the French tourist.
Oh,
to see the hot pools that you went to. Did you go to any of those when you were in Yellowstone?
We did indeed.
And did they warn you to not go swimming in the pools?
They did. They did indeed. Yes.
And did you get to go to see the Grand Canyon? The big waterfall?
We actually saw the remains of a coyote who did not get the memo about staying away from those hot pools, by the way. That's a true story. And, yes, we did see the upper and lower falls there.
And did you get to go to the Million Dollar Cowboy Bar in Jackson Hole?
It was, we passed by it. It was closed while we were there.
So that's great. I'm glad you had a great time at Yellowstone, and that's all I've got to say today.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate the phone call.
Thank you. Yeah, I guess what, April is the off season for that neighborhood, or
yes, mid-April through mid-May, mid to late May is kind of their downtime. And
interesting,
they. It's between the ski season, which wraps up, we were told, basically mid-April, and then the tourist season really gets underway toward the end of May. So there's about a month there, roughly. It varies on business, but we kind of hit the peak period for different shops and restaurants being closed.
Interesting.
For their off-season. Let's head to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, guys. Glad to hear you back on the air.
Oh, look who's back.
We're glad to be on the air.
Now we're officially relaunched. Okay, here we go.
Before I ask you about your trip, because I do have a couple of questions, because I wasn't in State College at the time, were there a lot of microbursts? Was it a lot of just wind in general? Were there twisters? What the heck happened?
Well, I tell you what, listen for Joe Bastardi here in about 20, 25 minutes. He'll tell us. But I have no idea what happened.
I never saw anything official. There were different postings saying, hey, we did have a tornado here that did touch down. I've not seen anything where anybody official has confirmed that. And I may very well have just missed it. I missed a lot of the... I did not get caught up, really, on the news that we missed during those days. I've caught up on the what's happened over the weekend, more so than what happened other than the storms last week. But, yeah, the microbursts were definitely... there. That's what took my hat. It was a gust and then some. You could feel it like sucking up. I'm half kidding when I say I turned around to double check that the Mad Turtle wasn't flying away. I'm telling you, that thing was, and again, it was a few seconds. I mean, it wasn't like a sustained steady wind, but man, it was powerful. And obviously we had a lot of that, just very short, very powerful bursts.
Right, right. It reminds me of, you know, the wacky left that thinks we can control the environment by not using spray cans.
Well,
what a bunch of nuts. You know, but in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, I know, you know, we have crazy weather because of the mountains, and you can have it in one area and 2 miles away in another. And I have been traveling through Tennessee. What is it that crazy people drive through standing water? You're going to ruin your engine. I mean, how many times do you have to be told, don't, stop, go around? What the hell are you in a hurry about? And that leads to my next question of Montana, which I was there in 84, which is one of the most beautiful states I've ever seen in my life. And I had an epiphany. I was about, I think, 22, and, you know, going to the Philadelphia propaganda centers called public schools, you know, which I detected was a bunch of garbage.
Okay.
By the time I was in first grade, that's how smart I was. But we were constantly pounding in our brains, overpopulation, overpop, oh, my God, world, overpop. When I got west of the Mississippi, I used to know one here. What a bunch of freaking liars. And then I got to western Montana. I don't know if were you in western Montana or eastern? Did you end up in Great Falls?
Where were you in Montana? I don't.
No, we didn't get to Yellowstone. Was really the and I think we were just in and out. We weren't the Montana part of it was a pretty short part of our trip.
And the Dakotas. I mean, this is one of the most beautiful countries in the world. It really is. So I'm glad you had a good time. If you ever get a chance, Great Falls, Montana, the Dakotas, it's breathtaking.
Yeah.
You know, my bucket list is a train. I want a train ride. I want to do a train ride 3,000 miles, top of the country, and Alaska. Don't know if I'll ever make that, but one of my friends just came back. He's from Pennsylvania, went to California and did the train ride 3 days, and he said it was just breathtaking.
Cool stuff.
Yeah, I will say it is not often. It was one of those things where I really was a little afraid that we were building it up so much in our minds. I mean, we looked at pictures and we're looking at the different tours and what you could see, what you could do, and all of that. And I'm like, part of me, like it's almost inevitable that we're going to be let down a little bit here just by, because we're building it up so much in our minds about how majestic it's going to be and all of that. And then you get out there and you're like, oh my God, no, this is more incredible and truly awe-inspiring in person than you could ever have envisioned. And the different components to the landscape out there and the wildlife is just it's hard to put into words. It was everything we were hoping it would be, and then some. And it just, and again, we talked to several people, including both of our guides, the one on the Grand Tetons and the other on the Yellowstone tour, and a couple of the restaurant owners and a couple of the workers at the one restaurant. Every one of them said, it's like, do you ever, like, I can't imagine it, but do you ever take for granted, like, what you're seeing when you're living here? Like, nope. Every day we wake up and it's like you look out and it's like, holy cow, this is awesome. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. I mean, it seems that way to me, but I didn't know if after years, like, nope, it doesn't matter how long you're here. You look around and you're like, wow, this is really cool.
Yeah, the postcards can't do it any justice. It's just it's that. I think we East Coasters, the ones that haven't been out there, you have to understand, you can look at a mountain range 20,000 feet high, two-hour drive to get there. It would be the equivalent of Pennsylvania to New York. You're looking at it, and it's 2 hours away. Absolutely phenomenal. Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful states in the country. I mean, look at Cogan Station. Look at the Appalachians, but the Alleghenies.
Yep.
Absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous state. If we could just take all the liberal Democrats and get through them out of the state, it would be perfect. Oh, if we could just get rid of every one of them,
so close,
you know,
to being
ship
a perfect
them to Cuba, or you know what? I would say like one of the ugliest states is probably Colorado, the non-rocky part, the flat part. Just put them there. And I would be happy. And it would just make my life.
Sure you would, yeah.
I don't know. I used to think, thank you for the call. Thanks I used to think Iowa was the most boring landscape because you're like, you're just driving through and it's just flat and there's just nothing but cornfields. And then we went to Oklahoma and I'm like, well, at least there were cornfields in Iowa. Oklahoma, I mean, there are stretches, like long stretches, where it is just flat and it's dirt. Like, look around, it's like, this is really bad landscape. And you're like, man, when you think back to Pennsylvania, or, you know, certainly if you're thinking about Wyoming or some of these other western states, it's like, ooh, like just flat dirt really doesn't do much for the eye that is looking for scenery. But I digress.
We are fortunate to live where we do.
Now, that is a fact.
That line I keep using. All right, let's take a break here. Again, we're going to talk weather with our friend Joe Bastardi of WeatherBell.com in about 15 minutes, and he's going to fill us in. Okay, what the heck happened last week?
Yeah, well, and he was out chasing tornadoes.
Oh, I forgot about that.
The Texas area, I think. So we'll get an update on that, too.
He should have just stayed home, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go away. We will come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dotter Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
This year's Penn State Board of Trustees election is about transparency and competence. And Pat Romano is asking for your alumni vote. Pat is a successful local business owner from Phillipsburg and a leader on the World Campus Alumni Board who believes in lowering student tuition, saving Commonwealth campuses, improving the Penn State student experience, and in honoring Joe and Sue Paterno by returning the Joe Paterno statue. Number 3 on your alumni ballot, Pat Romano will focus on Penn State's future and enough of the nonsense. This spring, vote for Pat Romano for the Penn State Board of Trustees.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Dotter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Dotter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org.
Let's talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, will be joining us about 7 minutes from now. This will be a shorter segment, 814-954-7266, if you want to weigh in on the big show this morning.
All right, a couple of quick things then. Again, Cinco de Mayo, woohoo today. Are any Mexican restaurants doing specials today? Probably. I haven't seen anything advertised, but, you know, maybe. I think a lot of folks, a lot of Americans misunderstand. They think Cinco de Mayo is a big deal. Must be the Mexican Independence Day. You know, 4th of July, Cinco de Mayo is 5th of May.
No.
This is not Mexican Independence Day.
It's the day that margaritas were invented.
No.
We all celebrate.
Huh? No, that's not it either.
That's not it.
That's not it.
Oh.
No, sorry.
Thought this was the great celebration.
This was a historic battle that was fought in Mexico where the Mexicans won. This is like 160 years ago, I think, or something like that.
Battle for margaritas. And the winners got to drink all of the margaritas.
Well, maybe after they won the battle, they had some margaritas.
I would think so.
Holy fright. All right, now we haven't done this in a while. We're going to play our favorite game, Quiz the Ironhead. All right, now hopefully the Ironhead knows that the United States has 50 states, not 51.
Well, for now.
Not 51. All right. Now, Mexico has states. All right, so our Quiz the Ironhead question, Mr. Ironhead, how many states does Mexico have?
Well, there's the normal state, and then there's the state of confusion after those margaritas. So just two states in Mexico.
And the drunken state, so that would be three states.
Well, that is the state of confusion.
wrong.
What?
Try again.
I cannot believe this.
How many states does Mexico have?
Fewer than 50.
That is correct.
No. See?
Get more specific.
More than one. Ladies and gentlemen, how does he do it? Mr. Giese cannot stump me no matter how many times he tries.
Let's hone in a little closer.
Huh?
Let's keep going.
Well, between 1 and 50.
Okay, but let's get closer. Let's zoom in a little bit.
Pretty good.
Take another guess. How many states does Mexico have?
28.
Actually, you're very close.
Ah!
29. The answer is 31.
31! That was going to be my next guess.
30, yeah, of course.
I was going to skip 30 for no apparent reason and go to 31.
31 states for Mexico. So there we go. Now, if you are a parent, all right, of a little guy like Mad Turtle or whatever,
does that count Mexico City?
What?
Or is Mexico City like Washington, D.C.? So we have 50 states, but we also have the District of Columbia.
No, I don't think it is. Mexico City is in a state. I don't know which one.
It's a state of confusion.
It's a state of confusion there, especially down there. Anyway, this week is Teacher Appreciation Week from today to Friday.
In Mexico.
Here. Not in Mexico.
They're
here.
Celebrating with margaritas, now, all the teachers in
Mexico. Well, after school, they probably are.
Oh, boy.
Okay, there we go. I don't know about that. Not during school. After school. I have no clue. Tomorrow, Tuesday, is National Teacher Day. Having teachers in my family, all right, wife, sister-in-law, one daughter, mother-in-law, all teachers. The only one who's still active is my one daughter. you know, what schools are supposed to do this week is they're supposed to do things for teachers. You know, give them gifts, give them treats, you know.
You schools, you go do things.
Maybe after school they're doing the margarita deal. I have no idea.
That'd be doing something.
Because education, pretty stressful, all right?
Yeah.
Trust me. All right. Now, if you're a parent, you may already know this. Hopefully you pay attention to your kids' classes and, you know, all that sort of stuff, grades and things. I can almost guarantee from 25 years of experience working with schools, probably every classroom at any level, K-12, we're talking K-12 now, not college, K-12, probably up on the board. Now, in the old days, it was a chalkboard. Now it's more of a whiteboard, you know, where you can, you know, erase and stuff. Are they keeping track of how many days are left in the school year? Are you kidding? Yes, they are. Okay.
They are.
Depending on your school's schedule and so on, there's 20 days, and then there's 19, then there's 18. It's like the countdown at Cape Canaveral. You know, here we go. Boom, boom, boom. If you can do something for your kid's teacher or teachers, parents, why don't you do something? Now, maybe not the margarita idea. That might not be a good one. That, I understand why, but that might not go over well publicly, okay? Unless you take them out at night like, hey, you've done a great job, have a margarita or something. I don't know. But it's Teacher Appreciation Week. Teachers need appreciation, all right? They really do. For those of you, well, they get a paycheck.
Yeah.
No.
They do.
Well, they do, yes. But, no, more than that. And this is the week. It's always in early May. When we appreciate teachers. And so if your kid's teacher, like you really like what, like them, or they, you like what they do, why not a little something? I don't know, a gift card. Little gift card. Doesn't have to be something crazy. Little gift card.
An apple. One of those apples without worms in it.
No, that is overrated.
What?
Okay, don't do the apple gig.
Oh, come on.
Don't do the apple gig, all right? Just, it doesn't have to be big, a thank you card, you know, a note, something to let your kid's teacher or teachers know that you do appreciate what they're doing. Private school, public school, doesn't matter, all right? Teachers really need to be appreciated. In some respects, it's been a rough year again. No substitute teachers, essentially, to speak of. This is in the old days. And so on. And just, you know, what happened over at State College High School, you know, a couple of weeks ago with that threat. Just stupid stuff like that.
Yeah.
It kind of gets on your nerves if you, you know, work in a building. So appreciate your kid's teacher this week or teachers. Let them know somehow. A note, a card, a gift card, I don't know, baked goods, whatever. Maybe a margarita, but just don't say anything out loud, okay?
Yeah.
Whatever you want. Just sometime this week, maybe, again, tomorrow is National Teacher Day. Maybe you want to do it tomorrow. Just do something, and your teachers would just love that. They would love that, because they need that kind of appreciation. There we go. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to see if we can get the postmortem here from our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, on what the heck hit us last Tuesday. And that's right, he was doing tornado chasing in, what, Texas or something?
Yes, crazy
that's
stuff.
Crazy, crazy week last week. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll do all of that talk when we come right back.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BellefonteCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BellefonteCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
Join the Nittany Knights as they perform Just Sing, 7 p.m. May 17th at the State Theater in downtown State College. This year's spring show will feature 2024 International Barbershop Harmony Society gold medal winners, Three and a Half Men, along with choirs from State College High School and Mountain Indian Park Forest Middle Schools. Tickets $30 for adults, $20 for children 15 and under. Get your tickets today at nittanyknights.org. Just Sing, May 17th, 7 p.m. at the State Theater. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox Insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an Insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an Insider, only from 987 The Fox.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. Fox Sports.
It's a Monday morning edition of Let's Talk, and we enter the final segment, and that means we are joined via the phone line by none other than Joe Bastardi, WeatherBell.com. Huh, if only we had some weather to talk about over the last week.
Know.
Oh, wait a second.
So boring.
We do. Good morning, Mr. Bastardi.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Well, much better than we were, you know, like last Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Thursday afternoon.
Friday morning.
You know, as I understand that now, I went to a meeting several years ago because we were complaining about power outages in our part of Harris Township. And what I understood is that to keep costs down, that we do not have the maintenance that we used to have 20, 25 years ago, where, you know, they had a certain regimen where every 3 years or something they'd do perform upgrades or whatever, and it was sort of cut in half. Now, I don't know the exact details of that, but this is a real problem, not only in Center County in Pennsylvania, but the entire U.S. grid. And when we had the show, The Wise Guys of Weather, and Jeff remembers Steve Gorham, who is like the grid expert in the country, was on with us a couple of times. And, I mean, it's just not good what is going on. And, you know, you've got situations where there has to be constant upgrade of that kind of thing. What would really sort of solve the issue is if you had a lot of nuclear power, these small generators, and each town gets a small, generator that can help out with 25,000 to 50,000 residents. And then what'll happen is that you won't get the, if one thing goes down, the rest of the grid doesn't collapse like that. So, you saw what just happened over in Europe. I mean, they're trying to use renewables, and there's so much sun one day. It was a sunny spring day in the Iberian Peninsula, and it overloaded the solar system, the solar input, which in turn created an imbalance that shut the entire grid down in Spain and Portugal. So part of this is not just, we've had thunderstorms go through with 60, 70 mile an hour winds before, and, we didn't have that kind of widespread outage, nor did it take that long to recover. I'm in Houston right now, and the same thing happened to them. Their grid system, when Beryl came through here, Beryl came through with 75 to 85 mile an hour winds, and they were down for 10 days down here. So part of that is because, and this is what I keep talking about, this phony climate war, right? Because prices have gone up so much, your electric company, it's not their fault. It is not the fault of the electric company. They're trying to hold your costs down.
Yep.
So they're looking, well, where can we cut? What are the odds that we're going to get a thunderstorm that does this? That if you're out for 10 days out of, let's say, 1,000 days or 5,000 days, is that an acceptable price? So but people have to read and go look at everything if they want to understand why their power gets knocked out by a thunderstorm for 4 days, the way we just had it. I mean, you can have squirrels blowing out transformers now.
Yep.
And you're out in the neighborhood for a week.
And, Joe, I mean, we were talking about it a little bit this morning. It is, like, it was an inconvenience, for sure, here. But if we are in the, dead of winter, and we're having 0 degree temperatures and minus degree temperatures with the wind chill and all of that, or if we're in the 98 degree sweltering heat of August, but it's a little more than an inconvenience at that point, in particular for the people that are most vulnerable.
Well, that's what happened down here in Texas. They just their grid just totally collapsed during the ice storm, and they were out of power for 5 to 7 days, and I'm sure there were people, the death toll was like a Category 5 hurricane hit the place. I mean, not Katrina, but it was it's that situation. But, the fact of the matter is it makes you understand that, we do not own the planet. The planet owns us. We're just sort of tenants on the planet, but you have to take steps to adapt rather than think you can prevent. See, that's a big difference in the kind of environmentalism guys like me practice, where we understand that there's inherent risk in the entire system of the planet because of the way the planet's designed. And so, that's good. Let's adapt to it rather than say, I think we could just change the whole thing and stop it. That's never worked. And, how, if you believe the Earth is 6,000 years old or 6 billion years old, trying to stop what the weather and nature does not work. So, anyway, we've got this upper low that's spinning around here, and it leaves the next 3-4 days. We're in for coolish weather. The sun pops out enough today. We get the temperature up towards 70, and you could get a pretty nasty thunderstorm around here today. I don't think, though. I mean, Jeff, when I was on with you last Monday, we were issuing a trash can being blown into the next county watch for recyclable bins, so we knew that was coming along, that severe weather, right? This is more like the type of thing where you get a local single cell rather than an organized line that, can cause some problems. And one of the things we may have to look out for is one or two of these can produce some hail in the area. So what happens is it's not like, here comes this big line that's moving 50, 60 miles an hour. It's these thunderstorms that'll pop up here, pop up there, and they can produce localized bouts of severe weather, but nothing like what we just saw.
Yeah, that was something.
I mean, Joe, you've been in Texas for a week. First off, did you catch a
tornado? No, I just got
there. He just got there.
Oh, you just got there. So you haven't had a chance to catch a tornado yet.
No, we're on our way to, we're leaving now. We're heading out to the Permian Basin because we've got to go west today, and that's where we think they're going to try to develop this afternoon. And then tomorrow we're coming back east, you know, trailing it as it's moving east. So we've got a, pretty interesting plan. My son, Garrett, is with me. Obviously, Garrett's with me. He does all the driving over here or whatever. But what happens is he knows what he's doing. So, I mean, I just sit along and go for the ride, and he knows how to chase them because that's what he does. He chases tornadoes. So I have the utmost amount of confidence in his ability to find a tornado and keep us close enough to it so that we guys go, wow, look at that tornado, but not, you know, get swept up in Wizard of Oz fashion.
That's what I'm wondering. How close do you get to one of those? How close does Garrett get to one of those?
Yeah, how close do you try to get?
Get safely like quarter to a half mile.
Quarter to a half mile.
Wow,
that's pretty darn close.
You got to
be as a, you want to kind of parallel it or make sure that it's moving away from you, obviously, and not towards you.
Yeah, what you don't want to see is a tornado in front of you that is expanding. What happens is if they're coming at you, they look like they're not moving, but they're just getting bigger, right? So what happens is you want to be, if you can see movement in the tornado, you're not heading into the tornado. And they've got, it's amazing. The last time we were out last year, that was like, where are these cow pasture roads that have traffic jams on them? Because there's so many people out there, and I don't have any objection to people want to go chase tornadoes, but a lot of times they don't know what they're doing. So they're swerving all over the place, and you don't know what the heck's going on, or they're chasing low clouds. Oh, those clouds look interesting over there, and so it's a fascinating thing. But we chase hurricanes and we chase tornadoes. So that's what I do in my off time.
Ooh. That's an interesting hobby you have there.
Now, did you guys watch a fight the other night with Bo?
I did.
Yeah. That guy was, I tell you what, that's the biggest 184-pound guy I ever saw. 6'4", 184. So
yeah,
Bo had his work cut out for him. But let's remember that Bo Nickel lost a match to a guy named Miles Martin, all right, from Ohio State. And
did they ever meet again after that, Joe?
No, he never lost again after that. So Bo tends to use situations like that to reverse his course of fortune. So that'll be interesting to see.
Yep, well, learning experience, no doubt.
All right, so anyway, we've got all this ugly weather, semi-ugly weather here over the next few days, but I'm just taking a look at this. I'm confident this pattern's going to reverse to a warmer than normal summer. I think June is the driest of the three summer months. I think August is going to be the wettest of the three summer months. And I think you're going to see after this, all this cool wet weather goes by, we're going to break out into the real deal later in May and on into. I just took a look at the European long-range forecast for the summer. It looks like the maps that we've been drawing on WeatherBell for, you know, we try to give people like we start hinting at things 6 months in advance. So it looks like what we've been hinting at. So I like the way this is going to go along. You just hang in here. By the time we get past May 10th, May 15th, we're going to be in good shape. And, summer's meant to be hot. I like hot summers. I hope it dries out because I don't need to have my lawn mowed every 5 days because that gets expensive.
yes, it does.
Are we out of time, Doc? Do you have a question to ask? We usually have some question like you.
Well, I was going to say real quick. We're almost out of time. We've had three big blows here in like 6 or 7 weeks. Are you saying no more big blows?
What are you talking about? A severe thunderstorm?
Like last Tuesday, where people lose power.
I can't say that for sure, but I would bet against it in a widespread fashion. I think we're done with the widespread severe weather this year. All right.
In the meantime, Mr. Bastardi, what should we do with that there weather?
Well, the weather last week, we could take that and, you know, what we could do with it. But this week, you can enjoy the weather. And remember, with all this rain, for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. So, see that? A sensitive male. I enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Okay, that works.
From State College, Lock Haven, and Bellefonte, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7.